Clarissa Oakes, Aubrey Maturin series, Book 15. Written by Patrick O'Brien and read by Rick Jerram.
Chapter 1. Standing at the frigate's taffrail, and indeed leaning upon it, Jack Aubrey considered her wake, stretching away neither very far nor emphatically over the smooth, pure green-blue sea. A creditable furrow, however, in these light airs. She had just come about, with her larboard tacks aboard, and, as he expected, her wake showed that curious nick where, when the sheets were hauled aft, tallied and belayed, she made a little wanton gripe, whatever the helmsman might do. He knew the surprise better than any other ship he had served in. He had been laid across a gun in the cabin just below him, and beaten for misconduct when he was a midshipman. And as her captain, he too had used brute force to teach reefers the difference between naval right and naval wrong. He had served in her for many years, and he loved her, even more than his first command. It was not so much as a man of war, a fighting machine, that he loved her, for even when he first set foot aboard so long ago, neither her size nor her force had been in any way remarkable. And now that the war had been going on for 20 years and more, now that the usual frigate carried 38 or 36 18-pounders and gauged 1,000 tons, the surprise, with her 28 9-pounders and her less than 600 tons, had been left far behind. In fact, she and the rest of her class had been sold out of the service, or broken up, and not one remained in commission. Although both French and American yards were building fast, shockingly fast. No, it was primarily as a ship that he loved her, a fast, eminently responsive ship that, well handled, could outsail any square-rigged vessel he had ever seen, above all on a bowline. She had also repaired his shattered fortunes when they were both out of the navy, himself struck off the list, and she sold at the block, and he sailed her as a letter of marque. But although that may have added a certain immediate fervour to his love, its true basis was a disinterested delight in her sailing, and all those innumerable traits that make up the character of a ship. Furthermore, he was now her owner, as well as her captain, for Stephen Maturin, the frigate's surgeon, who bought her when she was put up for sale, had recently agreed to let him have her. And what was of even greater importance, both man and ship were back in the navy, Jack Aubrey reinstated after an exceptionally brilliant cutting-out expedition, and after his election to Parliament, and the frigate as His Majesty's hired vessel, Surprise. Not quite a full reinstatement for her, but near enough for present happiness. Her first task in this particular voyage had been to carry Aubrey and Maturin, who was an intelligence agent as well as a medical man, to the west coast of South America, there to frustrate French attempts at forming an alliance with the Peruvians and Chileans, who led the movement for independence from Spain, and to transfer their affections to England. Yet, since Spain was then at least nominally allied to Great Britain, the enterprise had to be carried out under the cover of privateering, of attacking United States, South Sea whalers and merchantmen, and any French vessels she might chance to meet in the East Pacific. This plan had been betrayed by a very highly placed, but as yet unidentified traitor in Whitehall, and it had had to be postponed, Aubrey and Maturin going off on quite a different mission in the South China Sea, eventually keeping a discreet rendezvous with the Surprise on the other side of the world, in about 4 degrees north and 127 degrees east, at the mouth of the Salibabu Passage, the frigate, in the meantime, having been commanded by Tom Pullings, Jack's first lieutenant, and manned, of course, by her old privateering crew.